Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to our live and uninterrupted qualifying coverage from Watkins Glen International for the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. It is the WeatherTech 240 here at Watkins Glen up in the Finger Lakes region of New York. Beautiful area normally, but a little bit overcast today. 3.4 miles, 11 corners, and a wonderful place to be for our event this Thursday and Friday. And the circuits, well, it's a challenge at the best of times, but when it's damp and drying, even more so. In the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre, it's Jeremy Shaw with me, John Hindorf, Shea Adam, our VP Racing Fuels pit and paddock reporter. And I've got to say, Jeremy, as we look out, courtesy of our colleagues at NASCAR Productions at Charlotte, that we can see the whole track, although in fairness our commentary booth here gives us a decent view from the top of the grandstand. This is a heck of a lot better than when we left at the end of the practice session. It is. Actually, the rain has stopped and the track, while it's not totally dry, is way better than it was.
Hey, yeah, look on the bright side. Absolutely right it is. I mean, it was pretty nasty halfway through that last session, but it was drying out toward the end. There was a drier line emerging, and hopefully we'll yeah, it's still going to be very tricky out there. You can't afford to go too much offline here. Because then you're going to get into some serious trouble. But it's going to be a very interesting couple of sessions coming up. The track's going to get better. But if it doesn't rain anymore, the track is just going to get faster and faster and faster.
Shea Adam is our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Reporter. What is being said in the paddock? What are we expecting to see? It was a slightly different look to qualifying last weekend, 5 days ago, because of the length of the race and the fact that we had three drivers in some of the cars. Are we going back to what might be described normal here as far as the qualifying and the selection of drivers is concerned?
Yes, as is the case with the GTD class, our first cars out on track, and they'll be going out with the silver or bronze drivers in the car to set the positions for the race tomorrow. Now, there will be a second qualifying session after that, after a 10-minute break, where the professional drivers in the cars, i.e. the gold or platinum, or your non-first qualifying driver, gets to go out and take a shot at it. Now, by and large, we know who are going to be in the cars because of their ratings, but there were a few cars where both of the drivers qualify for this first session. So there were some question marks around. But going in order, let's go back to front, because typically we've been doing it numerically the other way around. Robbie Foley, race winner 4 days ago. Yep, 4 days ago. Here at the Saline 6 Hours of the Glen, will be going out to qualify the number 96 Turner Motorsport BMW, wearing a slightly different and patriotic livery for this weekend, I've been told. It's Rob Ferriel in the good-to-go, ready Team Hardpoint EBM Porsche, the only Porsche in the field this weekend as far as GTD is concerned. Jeff Kingsley, Canadian, happy Canada Day, Jeff, is in the 76 Compass Racing Acura with the orange and black colors back for the sprint championship, not racing in the long-distance races. Neither was the Acura of Gradient Racing, and that is Till Bechtelsheimer behind the wheel of that car for this first qualifying session. Richard Highstand is sitting in his Audi waiting to go for Carbon Auto Sports for that beautiful number 39 machine. That is the gray and green one. And that could have been Jeff Westphal, both are silver at slash bronze rated drivers, but they've gone with Richard. Michael de Quesada is the driver of the number 28 Allegro at Motorsport Mercedes. Again, another one of those cars that had options, as Daniel Morad is silver and so is Michael. It is Roman De Angelis, another happy Canada Day contender out there for Aston Martin in the number 23 Heart of Racing Aston Martin. 19 is Misha Goikberg, will not be going out at the start of this session. He has a 5-minute stop and hold penalty from an incident in that practice session involving one Rob Ferriel. So Misha will be sitting for a third of this session. We've got Aaron Tielitz and Frankie Montecalvo in the two Lexuses for the number 14 and 12 respectively. And last but certainly not least, it is Madison Snow in the Paul Miller Racing number one Lamborghini.
Thanks, Shea. Earlier on, it was very, very difficult conditions indeed. And of course, we do have a penalty in this session. It was assessed when the number 88 Hardpoint EBM Porsche ran into the back of the Lamborghini. So that's a penalty on the Porsche, right? Wrong. It was a penalty on the Lamborghini for coming through the final corner and checking up. So the number 19 Lamborghini Huracan from GRT Grasser Racing will stand in the pit lane for 5 minutes at the start of this session, effectively making their session down to just 10 minutes. Now, in fairness to the driver of the Lamborghini, the red flag had come out a couple of seconds before he stood on the brakes, but that apparently was no mitigating factor to what went on. Shea Adam, you've been analysing the data in this VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock report.
I went back and I actually looked at the times that everything came out. The red flag was called for at 2:34:26 by race control. Typically, even our flaggers, when they are on their best game, it's about a 3-second delay to when the flag actually comes out. Rob Ferriel entered the pit lane at 2:34:33. So that was 7 seconds after the red flag was called, but not quite long enough for me to feel comfortable that Goikberg had seen the red flag. What we don't know is if the call came over the radio to Misha, and that's why he put the brakes on. But I have been talking to the Team Hardpoint EBM team in this break, and I can tell you one thing right now. They have full wet tires on that Porsche. Allegra just put on slicks on the Mercedes, and the Lexuses have slicks on. So I'm doing a little bit more digging to find out who's on what. But during these qualifying sessions, you may not change the tires. Once the car leaves the pit lane, it comes back in, you touch it, you lose all your time. So it's a gamble right now for who's on what. But if I'm out there, I'm sending my first driver on wets, my second driver on slicks.
Who's on first? What's on second, I think. It's a very old comedy routine. Look it up. Under 12 minutes to go. We're in the qualifying session for grid position. We'll get these cars back out again after a wee break. They'll then go for championship points. But this is the grid position, and it's really important here. We'll have Ollie Jarvis talking to us a bit later on in this qualifying session about track position here and why it's important here. But Jeremy, interesting that there is a difference. I'm not surprised, but there is a difference of opinion. This is that transition condition that tire engineers and kind of don't really like, to be honest, because I'm not sure there is a right or a wrong right now.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's particularly challenging here, of course, because of the fact you're not allowed to touch the car once the session is underway. So you're stuck with it, and that's one of the times when that rule is questionable in terms of its effective. Of how sensible it is, quite frankly. In sort of conditions like this, you'd like to have a little bit more flexibility, I think, quite frankly. But the rules are what they are, and that's what the teams have to live with. It's certainly going to be very tricky out on slick tyres right now. But by the time the session is over, I think it probably is going to be time for slicks. potentially.
I think this is going to be last car across the line gets pole position. And in that respect, the GRT, the Grasser Racing Lamborghini, the 19 green Lamborghini, not going out for the first 5 minutes might not be the worst thing. They've been given the go-ahead to go now. I'd really like to know what tyres they're on and whether they're going to stick with Michelin wet and therefore have 5 minutes fewer running on it, 5 minutes less running on it, or whether they go for slick shear and try to get the heat in the tyres in the last 10 minutes of running.
Well, the funny thing is that they would have had to have made their tyre decision before the session went green, before they were serving the penalty, whereas other cars on the pit lane were sitting there flipping back and forth between their tyre choices. The Lexuses both put on slicks. The Allegra Mercedes put on slicks. Then it put back on the rain tyres before sending out Michael De Quesada. And then the number 12 Lexus went back to rain tyres and the 14 left the pit lane on slicks. So even within teams, they can't decide what tyres they want to go with, let alone different teams up and down the pit lane.
Well, I'd actually say that's an advantage, because the conditions are tricky out there right now. So if you do have two bullets in your gun, it does make sense to send one out on slicks and one out on wet. That way you've got both ends covered. This is going to set the grid positions for the race, of course. The championship positions, the championship points will be set in the next session, which will start, about 20 minutes from now.
It's Jeremy Shaw and John Hindhoff in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Sheer Adam is getting us all of the info from the pit and paddock as our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter. Getting down to halfway through the session, and Madison Snow puts it on pole, and that is on pole, provisionally at least, with a 201.238. So Jeremy, a good time. He's got a second plus until Bechtelsheimer, who's having a great run for Gradient in the 66 Acura. The man with his background in classic and vintage racing, so he's not worried about the car moving around underneath him. But 201 is still a long way away from a full dry time that we'd expect to see around here.
Yeah, your dry times, you'd expect to see times here in the 1 minute 45s. So we're still 15, 16 seconds away from that.
So lots of green on my Alcamel timing screen in front of me. That means that people are improving at each lap of the 3.4 miles. Michael De Quesada moves up with the Allegra Motorsports Mercedes into fourth position, but there's still big gaps here. This is not over yet. Everybody trying to get as much heat as possible into whatever version of the Michelin tyres they have chosen. Remember, the Lexus, both of them, have gone out on slick racing tyres. Frank Montecalvo for Vasser Sullivan in the 12. That is the Lexus. Goes through to sixth position. That's his best time, but he's building up at the moment. His teammate, Aaron Tielitz, down in 10th. But without really a decent time yet. And this is all going to be about, I reckon, Jeremy, the last flying laps for pretty much everybody.
Yeah, no question about that. And the first session this morning in those wet conditions, of course, the GTD cars were in before the session was at its driest, because they went out for the final 15 minutes or so. The quickest time there was a 202.7. Quickest time so far, Madison Snow, 201.2 in this session.
Yeah, and he hasn't improved on that. He set that a couple of laps ago. Two laps ago. And he's not yet improved on that. He's on. Did you tell me he was on wet, Shea?
I did not, but he is on wets. And the advantage of qualifying on wets, and qualifying especially today, normally you have to start on the tires that you qualify on, but I do not believe that is the case with wet weather tires. And also, wet weather tires do not come out of the tire allocation for the weekend. So as it is right now, nobody should have any concerns over who has what left for the race tomorrow.
Suggests to me that he got those Michelin wets, Jeremy, up the temperature and pressure very quickly, put the 201.2 in, And effectively, he's banked that time. And now it's up to everyone else to chase him down because his tyres won't necessarily get any quicker. But anybody who's on six slicks, like Michael Di Cassada for Allegra, who's now cut that lead that was 1.1 seconds. The gap now just 0.2. And Richard Heistand, in fact, goes through under 0.1 seconds now. Here's the quicker times coming in.
Yeah, and Madison's the next lap around after that 2:01.2 for Madison was a 2:01.4. And as far as tyres are concerned, they have six sets of dry weather tyres, GTD, for this week. Can't even say weekend now, can I? Because we're racing tomorrow evening.
Yeah.
Which is plenty. Even if it had been dry, it would have been plenty. And in fact, we've already had a wet, you know, one session, no dry running yet. Tyres in terms of dry weather tyres, forget it. In fact, a lot of people are saying this, even in this session now, dry weather tyres, probably forget it because it's still pretty slick out there. But it is going to be really interesting to see whether anybody can turn a representative lap on the slicks before the end of this 15-minute session. We've got now less than 4 minutes remaining.
Not sure. Slicks were the right call. Robbie Fawley, Aaron Tielitz, Roman De Angelis, not on the times at the moment. In fact, they are the three bottom-placed cars at the moment. What did we put Frank Montecalvo on? Was he on slicks or was he on wets?
Montecalvo, wets,
right.
Tielitz, slicks.
Right, so they're split.
And this has big implications for the sprint championship, John, of which the GTD round is only worried about sprint championship this week because De Angelis and Ross Gunn lead the points. They're currently 10th. It's been an awful year for the last year's sprint champions, Aaron Tielitz and Jack Coxworth, but they're down in 11th. And then Robbie Foley and Bill Oberlin are third in points. So this might not have been the best indication for them to go out because this is where they're going to start the race.
Yeah, but at least this is not the session in which points are going to be scored.
No,
so and it's going to be a lottery tomorrow. Yeah, everybody's going to be on, as Shea was saying earlier on, everybody's going to be on different tyres tomorrow. But as she's raised a really, really good point because as we saw in the race last week, it's super difficult to overtake around here. So track position is going to be important. We saw that shuffling around after that final round of pit stops on Sunday, and it was very difficult to make any sort of moves in terms of making up track position once the race is underway.
It's Jeremy Shaw as we get down to the last couple of minutes. And let's see if anybody else can improve. Jeremy?
Top five covered by less than half a second at the moment.
Which we kind of expect. I wasn't sure we'd get that in these conditions. Michael Di Cassada by now 37 one-thousandths of a second. And he's got... that's ahead of Madison Snow for Paul Miller Racing. So that's Mercedes, Lamborghini, Audi by 0.094 of a second further back on exactly the same time as Till Bechtelsheimer. But because Richard Heistand put it in first, he gets the inside of the second row with Till on the outside. That's a 2:01.332. Now bear in mind, 2:01.201 is the pole position, provisional pole position time at the moment. Montecalvo now in fifth position is fully 0.3 seconds further back. Now here comes the Porsche. Rob Ferriol for Team Hardpoint, EBAM. Now he had slicks on. Is there time for another lap for him? Yes, there is. But Di Cassada's gone quicker again. No, he hasn't.
Ferriol has slicks?
Apparently.
Wow.
Ferriol is on wets. No, Ferriol is on wets. My apologies. I misread my own writing there. Di Cassada then gone through a 2:01.201. And Montecalvo goes through to take provisional pole for Lexus by 0.8 seconds for the number 12, Vasser Sullivan Lexus. Two minutes point three.
We're inside half a minute to go now, John. So he is on what will be his last lap in this session. And as you said, right from the very, very beginning, times are going to be quickest on the very, very last lap. We're going to see Tielitz come across the line momentarily to complete this lap, and he will be able to get one more lap in before the end of the session. He was a 209.2 was his previous best. He comes across the line now to 204.5, so 4 seconds quicker on that last lap than his previous lap. And he is currently 4 seconds off the pole time at the moment. We shall see. This is really pretty interesting.
Till Bechtelsheimer goes to second position for Gradient Racing. A 2.01.4. Here comes Madison Snow. His middle sector was outstanding. And he goes to the top. A 1.59.3. Underneath 2 minutes. The only driver so far. But Di Quesada, Kingsley, Heist, and Ferriel all still to come across the line. Here comes Shane Lewis, and he dives into the pits. Madison Snow then with the fastest time at the moment. Ferriol does not improve beyond seventh. Di Quesada has just had a lap taken away for track limits at turn five. That was the lap that he was on, so he crosses the line and stays in fourth position. 201.258, his best. Monte Calvo is the only one who'll be able to take this away, and does not. 4 tenths down. He is under 2 minutes, but it's going to be Paul Miller Racing, the team that had to change an engine last weekend. On pole position, Jeff Kingsley still out there, Heistand still out there, and Aaron Tielitz still out there, Jeremy.
Yeah, Tielitz is on a good lap going here. I don't think he's quite got enough for the
Heistand to third.
Excellent effort by Till Bechtelsheimer. He was unfortunate to be the first car to take the checkered flag.
Up to third for Heistand, for Carbron with Purrigan, the Audi. Bechtelsheimer still on the outside of row two. Tielitz up to eighth, but no further. It's Madison Snow, Paul Miller Racing. He'll be on pole position in the red, white and black Lamborghini. Alongside them, Carbon with Purrigan's Audi. Then two Acuras, and Bechtelsheimer is ahead of Compass Racing's Jeff Kingsley. It's the best qualifying for Till and for Gradient Racing. Fourth position. Fantastic. Brilliant stuff. And hearing from the team that they were on full tanks, they were not short-filled in that session. The idea was to use it as a practice session for Till, and he got right into the rhythm there. Seven laps for him, his best lap on his seventh lap, Jeremy. That's the way to do it.
It certainly is, absolutely. You know, everybody set their best lap on their last lap. Yes, they did, apart from Michael Di Quesada. For Aaron Tielitz, that was really what was really interesting about that last lap for Tielitz is that he lost a second and a half in the final sector compared to the pole sitter, and he ended up to just 2 seconds off the front row. So he potentially there. Had as high as a second row start if he'd been able to find a bit more speed in that final section. I don't know whether he made a mistake in those final two or three corners or whether it was just particularly slippery through there, but really, really interesting. And slicks were very nearly the right call during that session.
Yeah, absolutely.
One more lap and it could have been very, very different.
4 tenths of a second, the gap, and between first and second, and pretty much a full second, Madison Snow had on the field in the second sector. Very impressive indeed. So it's Lamborghini on pole position for GTD. We will reset that with the second drivers jumping into the GTD cars, and they will be joined by the GT Le Mans field as well of three cars, two Corvettes and the Phoenix-like WeatherTech Racing Porsche. So, Snow out of the car. Brian Sellers about to get in. So, we have a slight hiatus now whilst we wait for the teams to turn the cars around. Big congratulations down at Vassar Sullivan. That was a very good run indeed Frank Montecalvo. And a bit of a conflab going on between the Compass Racing drivers down on the pit lane, as Jeff Kingsley imparts his knowledge of the track to Mario Farnbacher in the yellow and green helmet, who's about to jump in. Shea, the next drivers should be fairly easy. Let's start with GT Le Mans then.
Okay, GT Le Mans, it is tea time in Corvette world. Taylor and Tandy are the two for those cars. So Jordan Taylor, race winner 4 days ago, and Nick Tandy, who loves it in the rain. He was so happy in the number four Corvette earlier on. He's been given qualifying duties for that car. And then for the 79, the WeatherTech Racing Porsche, that would be one Mr. Cooper McNeil. So can't wait to see which one of those three cars winds up on pole. For the other GTD drivers, as you said, fairly straightforward. Should I do them back to front again? Yeah, why not? I did it that way going on the first time. Bill Oberlin, race winner from last week. I'm going to keep saying that even though I know it's statistically not correct, is taking over the Turner Taco-mobile, the BMW. Number 88 is Catherine Legg for the Team Hardpoint EBM Porsche. It is Mario Farnbacher, as you rightly said, the Rainmeister, who I spoke with a little bit earlier, and he is so happy to be back at this track. Won here the last time that we raced prior to last week, did Mario Farnbacher. In the number 66, it is Miller time. Mark Miller taking over for Till Bechtelsheimer after that brilliant effort by the Gradient Racing Acura. In the Audi, that is Jeff Westfall now for him taking over. Daniel Morad in the Mercedes for Allegra Motorsport. In the number 23, it is Ross Gunn for Aston Martin, two names that are pretty synonymous now. Frank Pereira in the 19 GRT Lamborghini. In the two Lexuses, it is now Jack Hawksworth for the number 14 and Zach Veach for the 12. Zach was quick earlier when it was very wet out. And then in the number one, the Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini that's on pole. You nailed it, Brian Sellers.
And just before we move on to the next session, it's been a wee while since Madison was on pole, Jeremy.
Yeah, this is his fourth pole in the Inter WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. The most recent one was Laguna, WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca back in 2017. So it has been a little while. You'll be thrilled with that. Excellent effort by him in very challenging conditions.
So this next session, 15 minutes again, the opposite drivers in the GTD cars, doesn't affect their grid positions. This is for championship points scoring, whereas in the GT Le Mans, it's points and the positions on the grid in a single session. And in fact, that's how it will be for everybody else. So we've got three GT Le Mans cars, the two Corvettes and Cooper McNeil's WeatherTech 79 Porsche, which looks absolutely pristine on pit lane. Cooper looks very cool and calm and ready to go. That's not how it was last weekend in the race. Cooper coming round the final corner, turn 11, glanced the wall with the left rear, and that broke an oil line, which then ignited. He was pretty sensible, brought the car into the pits where he knew there'd be plenty of fire extinguishers and had to jump out of the car quick, smart. Fabulous work by all concerned in the pit lane, including from other teams. It is a big IMSA family. Damage to the left rear of the car, which was already sorted, and the car pretty much back to pristine condition by Monday evening.
Yeah, the team doing a great job. They went to work as soon as the car came back into the pit lane. The race was done for them on lap two, but that was only the beginning of their work. And Cooper McNeil, full props to him, put his hand up and said, it was my mistake. And he was gutted for the whole team. This is a track that Cooper loves. He won both of the Ferrari Challenge races here just a little over a month ago, and he's ready to go out. It's not a massive amount of track time for these competitors in terms of practice, qualifying and everything, but Cooper's ready. They did a two-day test here. He and Matt Campbell, they're ready to win.
Same questions again, Jeremy. Have they learned anything from what they've just seen? The GTDs can change tyres. Those were on wets before could go to slicks. This is a completely separate session. I think you've got to gamble on slicks now, Jeremy, don't you?
No, I don't think it's a gamble. I think it has to be Slicks. Absolutely right. We saw just looking at Tielitz's time on that final lap in that last session. He one more lap. I think there's no question he would have been on pole position, and I think Slicks is the only way to go now.
Release the beasts from the pit lane. GT Le Mans and GTD out for their 15 minutes of qualifying at Watkins Glen International for the WeatherTech 240 at the Glen. 2,040 minutes, not 240 minutes, before you get overly excited. And it is tomorrow. And we have both of the races live for you tomorrow. Shea Adam is our VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock Reporter. And just before this session gets underway, she has this from the pit lane.
Madison Snow, fourth position in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. This one has to be pretty sweet, though, because it was difficult conditions. Oh, I think we've lost him. He's saying that it is not, he's not able to hear right now. Hang on, we'll get back to him in a sec.
Okay, no problem. Very loud down there in the pit lane. We'll try and get hold of our pole sitter. And that is the pole session that we just had. We'll get back to that as soon as we can. Madison Snow, can you hear me? It's hind off.
Hello.
In the... Hi, Madison, it's hind off. Can you hear me?
Anybody there?
Hi, Madison, it's John here in the booth. Can you hear me? Technology not our friend down there in the Watkins Glen pit lane. Well, we'll give that a miss and we'll get him into Michelin Countdown to Green for the race tomorrow. So building up to their temperatures and pressures, Jeremy, in the front of the field, the two Corvettes hunting in packs.
Yeah, it'll take them a few laps to build any heat into these Michelin tyres. So I don't expect them to go any quicker than the GTD cars for a few laps. Yeah, probably a couple of laps or so, I think, because it certainly isn't chilly here at Watkins Glen, but the track temperature is not very high, and there's no tyre warmers, of course, if you're not familiar with this series. Even at the best of times, no tyre warmers. Because these are the best of times, because there are no tire warmers. Before long, we will be seeing some fast lap tires, and I'm pretty sure everybody will be on slick Michelin tires for this 15-minute qualifying session. This session, of course, will set the grid and the points for GTLM. For the GTD cars, it'll just set the championship points.
Yes, indeed. Don't expect to see any quick time straight off the bat from the GT Le Mans cars in the best of conditions we've seen down through the years that they have taken their time, shall we say, to get their tyres up, and the way they've used their tyres is distinctively different. Which is very interesting. But of course, there are different tyre choices for the final year this year, Jeremy, for GT Le Mans. That category disappears next year. And the Corvettes will be downgraded to a GTD car. Not sure how that's going to work, and I'm so pleased I'm not in IMSA technical, but they will all be on the same spec tyres at that point.
Yeah, I think so. There's some, yes, they will. And the big slide there for Jordan Taylor, I guess, wasn't it? It's pretty tricky out there right now, and he had to let a couple of GTD cars go. This is where the pros really earn their money in conditions like this.
Yeah, but they love it, Jeremy, because they feel they're making a difference. And, you know, this is probably the best condition they'll have the car in all weekend, because the times in the race when they are this low on fuel, they don't have new tyres. The tyres have been on there for at least a stint. So theoretically, if this was a full dry situation, this should be the time when the drivers can hang it out the most.
Yeah, they love it, absolutely love it. And that first lap, that first flying lap, Bill Oblin, fastest for Tournament Sport, the winner last weekend, and round he goes. I was just going to say, using all of experience, he spins it
turn six,
going down the hill. But his first flying lap was 158.6, which is already quicker than the pole time, I think, in that last session. That's a rare mistake.
Rare mistake indeed, Jeremy. Let's put that one in the diary. I've got a wall planner here, and I'm writing on it, Bill Oberlin spins and hits wall, because it just doesn't happen. He was right up in behind the Compass Acura NSX. Maybe he wasn't quite on the optimum line as he came in. Probably a little bit close to the apex, actually. It would have been fine if it had just been dry. But
way
I think,
too optimistic.
Well, he came from a long way back, Jeremy. Yeah,
they're just way too much confidence. Way too much confidence. He got in over his head, quite frankly. Very, very surprising. But look, rather make that mistake now than during the race, that's for sure.
Well,
come on, Mario, get on with it. Let's go. He dives down the inside and suddenly realises why Mario isn't pushing any harder going down the hill into turn six.
It's the old story, isn't it, of Villeneuve. At least he's found the limit now. He can back it back from that a bit.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly right.
That's
old school. 159.3 was the best time in that last session. Now on lap two of this session, 155.1. Mario Farnbacher, despite the fact he must have been distracted by Bill Oblin diving down the inside and spinning off directly in front of him, Mario Farnbacher goes fastest at 155.1. Wow.
Yeah, fantastic.
Pretty impressive by Mario there not to get distracted by that spinning BMW.
Slightly deranged the nose on the 96 turn of BMW.
A bit more circumspect this time around.
Yeah, but I tell
He's
you
lucky
what.
Lucky to get away with that. Goodness me.
Just a tiny bit of damage where the top part of the bonnet, the hood, meets the left-hand fender. It's all one big piece on the BMW M6, because that will be replaced as well next year. It's going to be the new M3, as their GT3 car should have made its competitive debut last weekend at the Nürburgring at round four, but they crashed the car in practice on Friday, didn't have a spare shell, so that's been put off for a little while. But I'm pretty certain we'll see that running non-homologated at the Nürburgring in the NLS, the Nürburgring Langstrecker Series, before the end of the season. We'll have full coverage of that, of course, over on our sister service.
And, John, how cool was it to see the BMW Junior team winning that race?
Yeah.
Last weekend. A tremendous feather in those youngsters' cap. Neil Verhagen from the United States, and Max Hess. And who's the English guy? Gosh, names escape me. Who's with H? Sorry, brain fade. But a great result for them to win the race overall. First win for the BMW Junior team in something like 35 years, probably, since BMW Juniors last ever won. And the youngest combined age ever of anybody
really?
In a race in the Nürburgring. Yeah, very cool.
So 5.5, 6 minutes to go. It was Dan Harper, wasn't it, that was the third driver there?
Yeah,
no, I had to look it up because it was doing my head in. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was trying to find the email.
I'm fortunate that I can type into search engines fairly quickly. And BMW... Junior team win NLS 4. It was about the shortest way that I could get it in there. It is Jeremy Shaw and John Heindorf in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre at IMSA Radio. If you'd like to get in touch with me. Just a couple of people asking about the status of the Corvettes for other races. Next year, El Puri, will the Corvettes be legal at Le Mans next year? Yes, they will in their current format, not in their IMSA format next year, because they'll be GT3 alikes. So the strong suggestion is that Corvettes will be doing a limited WEC program with the C8R in 2022, whilst also potentially competing here in IMSA with the same car, but with that car slowed down to GT Daytona sorts of speeds. And as I said, IMSA technical team, good luck with that. as my grandmother said, may God go with you on that one. That's a job that I would not like to have. I was having a think about what else Corvette could do with that car, as it's the newest GT Le Mans car. And the best idea I came up with is let it make all the power it can do and just basically enter it as an LMH car at Le Mans in the top class, because the power output is about the same. You can mess about with the aero as much as you want, because that would be free. They would get massive breaks on the technical side of things for it being a genuine production-based, road-derived car and production-based engine. And why not? Give it a go. See if you can win outright. Wonder how far it would be off. Bet it wouldn't be much. I said that with slight tongue-in-cheek to someone who knows the regulations better than I do, I just skimmed through the regs, and the very knowledgeable person said, that's not the most stupid idea I've heard, which I thought, coming from me then, that was pretty good. 3 minutes to go. It's Jordan Taylor in one of those C8Rs. The first time they came here was last weekend. Nick Tandy in second at the moment. There's 1.6 seconds between those two cars. I'm surprised. 6. Yeah, 1.6, Jeremy. Something wrong there. It's not the usual 0.2 of a second.
No, it's not indeed. And last time around was a slow one for Nick, so he must have had maybe had some traffic issues or whatever it was. See where he is on the racetrack compared to everybody else. But he's going to try and he's now just a little bit ahead of number three car on the racetrack. And number three, I think, has got a bit of GTD traffic on this lap. But Bill Oblin now goes to the top in GTD. It was Jack Hawksworth who was fastest at 148.9. Bill Oblin at 148.794 now, to put that number 96 BMW at the top of the charts, despite that off earlier on.
Unbelievable. That is Bill Power. And he's only a couple of seconds away from Jordan Taylor's best time, and only just on 0.4 behind Nick Tandy. Cooper McNeil struggling to get up the pace at the moment in the WeatherTech Racing Porsche, but don't forget that car hasn't really run other than in a very wet practice session earlier today, just that 1 hour since that car was rebuilt extensively. So that 911 RSR 19 still getting back up to pace. And Frank Pereira is greyed out at the moment, just did the one lap and came back in, Shea?
Well, he did, but then the team touched the car, which means that all of your times from this qualifying session are disallowed. So there's no point to that 19 going back out onto the racetrack, because any time it sets would be erased from the record books.
Nick Tandy clearly tuned into us on the Corvette C8R radio. Now goes from being 1.6 down, Jeremy, to 1.3 up.
Yes, indeed. So now can Jordan Taylor respond? They're both they're just on their completing sector one on this next lap. They will get, I think, no, they'll have the checkered flag, I think, this time around. So this has been the last lap, I think, for both of those cars. And Tandy was about a tenth of a second quicker through the first sector on this next lap. Zach Veach to the top in GTD in car number 12 for Vassar Sullivan Lexus, 148.494.
So the number 19 GRT Grasso Lamborghini sitting forlornly in the pit lane will not have a lap time in this session. So we'll start dead last. Shea, what does that do? Sorry, I'll take that back. It will not have a lap time in this session, so it won't get any points. But that will that affect the previous session when it was running for its grid position?
Should not affect its grid position. The rule states that you actually no, you know what? It probably will, because it says that you must participate in the second session unless force majeure, which was added after the Detroit round when the 14 Lexus couldn't take place because of a mechanical incident. But I believe they should be okay to maintain their qualifying spot. They qualified 11th out of 12 cars anyway, so if they're moved, it's only going to be one spot back.
Okay. New pole position, provisionally at least, with the checkered flag out and subject to post-qualifying scrutineering. New times in both of the classes, Jeremy.
Yeah, absolutely. Jordan Taylor goes to the top by 0.2 seconds over Nick Tandy, 1:43.8 for Taylor, 1:44.0 for Tandy. We're seeing faster times now in GTD. Bill Oberlin went to the top with a 1:47.5. Now it's Jack Hawksworth, a 1:46.9. I think the last car out on track is Brian Sellers in the number one Lamborghini. He's currently eighth fastest, but going faster on this lap.
Coming through to turn 11 now, the number one, Catherine Legg, will be no better than seventh. Westphal goes up to fifth in class. Daniel Morad now goes to third in class for Allegra Motorsport. These are for the points, remember. And Brian Sellers does not improve on that last lap. No. But they will still start, of course, from pole position because of the previous session. So this was all about points for GTD. But in GT Le Mans, the grid is set as follows. Corvette number 3 from Corvette number 4 from Porsche number 79. And then basically work the championship points after that. So it'll be Vasa Sullivan, number 14, who gets the top qualifying points for Lexus. Then BMW with Turner Motorsport for second place points. Mercedes Allegra Motorsport for third, and so on and so forth. So fourth being Mario Farnbacher. So fifth being Ross Gunn for Harter Racing Team. Aston Martin Vantage GT3. And very tight gaps again through there, exactly as we would expect.
Yeah, but a great lap from Hawksworth there. Certainly on that last lap, pulled out a full half a second on Bill Oberlin, who had been a good back and forth between those two during the session with the sister Lexus car. Zach Beach, did I say he was fastest with a minute or so to go? Or was that the other car? No, it's Victor.
It was Feach,
he
yeah,
was quickest,
yeah.
Yeah, and he ended up seventh in GTD. Wow.
Well, sure, goes to show.
Sellers on that last lap, he lost quite a bit of time again in that last sector. He was quick for the rest of the lap, but I don't think he had any traffic. I think he was on his own on that last couple of laps, but he wasn't able to put it together in that final set. If you take the differential between himself, 42.0 in the final sector for Hawksworth, Sellers 43.0, so that is half of the 2 second gap between the first and the ninth place cars in class are on that session, just in that final sector. So hats off again then to Jordan Taylor. He's kind of rewriting the record books, isn't he? Had his record extending victory last time out, and getting another pole position here. His brother Ricky has the most poles in WeatherTech Sports Car Championship history. He gained that last week with his 12th pole position. And Jordan Taylor, now this will be his seventh pole position, because it was Antonio Garcia who qualified on pole last week.
So it is Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini on pole position for GT Daytona. GT Le Mans will be the number 3. That is the Corvette. And Brian Sellers just getting out of the Lamborghini. That car will go to impound, of course, to be checked over for post-qualifying technical inspection. I think Brian Sellers, as he walks back up the pit lane, does not look the happiest bunny I've ever seen him look. He's normally very smiley and very positive, but that was a thoughtful Brian Sellers that was pottering back up the pit lane, rather sort of plodging back up the pit lane with a very thoughtful gait as he went back towards the team. He's left the car ready for the team to take it into post qualifying tech. Say again?
He pulled it up to the penalty box for the pictures to be taken
course.
With Madison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's off. He's disappeared. He's gone behind the pit wall. So he's clearly not happy with something out there. Now, whether it was himself or the car, we can't know at the moment. But the good news is we'll probably find out, because Brian is very good at speaking to us between the sessions and also one of the most forthright and honest of drivers in assessing what has happened. So if he has made a mistake, I will guarantee he'll put his hands up to it and tell us about it, and we'll get that news to you in the Michelin Countdown to Green tomorrow when we have two races for you. This WeatherTech 240 at the Glen, and we also have the Michelin Pilot Challenge, 2 hours of the Pilot Challenge as well in our two feature races tomorrow, live in audio on RS2 via imsaradio.com, and the main race as well on XM202 tomorrow. No Sirius channel again this weekend, although that will be back for the next round when we will be up at the Northeast Grand Prix. And just a quick note about that. WeatherTech Sports Car Championship Michelin Pilot Challenge at the Northeast Grand Prix on July 16th and 17th at Lime Rock Park. It's just the GTs there. It'll be a lot of fun, as ever, round the short bull ring of a circuit, which sort of vies for the top average speed between Road America and Lime Rock Park. That's the next one on the schedule, July 16th and 17th, all GTs. And if you'd like more details, go to limerock.com for tickets and more. And it's free parking, and it will cost you nothing if you're under 16. Veterans and active duty military free as well. July 16th and 17th, Lime Rock Park. Limerock.com. www.limerock.com. So did one of the team get to drive the lovely Huracan, or was that Madison that
yes.
jumped into that? It was one of the team, was it, yeah?
It was G, a tall guy jumping into it, and a car that's meant for Brian Sellers. It's a bit of a squeeze for Garrett.
This is for the GTDs, the sprint points, the sprint challenge points this year in IMSA. So it is only a point scoring round for that particular championship. That's the third, Jeremy, maximum points for Jack Hawksworth this year, and they all add up in the sprint championship.
Well, no, yeah, but not it's his first maximum point score in the sprint championship. That was the point I was going to make there. I kind of misled you, I guess, with that text. But it's the third time this season that Jack Hawksworth has got the maximum points, but the other two times were both in the main championship. As you say, this is not a round. This is the third round of the Sprint Cup this season. The other two races were at Mid-Ohio and Detroit, which is also not an overall championship round. In the past couple of years since the Sprint Cup has been introduced, there's been one race that is part of the Sprint Cup but not the overall championship. This year, for some reason, there are two, Detroit and here. But you're right, yeah. So this is the fourth time that car, excuse me, the third time that car has been the maximum point scorer in qualifying, but the first time in the Sprint Cup, and still their best finish of the year, as it is only a fourth. So that team yet to translate its speed into a proper race result. Perhaps tomorrow evening is the time that will change.
Yeah. So next out, we have the first batch of prototypes here, and this will be the LMP3s on their own session.
Yes, and first and foremost, gets credit to the car that let me know the driver ahead of time. Once again, Core Autosport, always on it. And it is John Bennett going out for qualifying duties, trying to get, hard to believe, his first ever pole position. John has been in IMSA for so many years. He's been two times a PC champion, second in the overall championship back in 2018. No pole position as of yet. Jeremy says 66th start for John Bennett. Wow. He's going to be trying to fight off Jim Cox in the number 91 Riley Technology LMP3 machine, and his teammate Gar Robinson leading the championship with one pole position to his name already this year in the 74. That's the one that's got the orange and blue all over it. It is Mateo Llerena for Performance Tech in their rebuilt number 38 machine. New engine coming in from JFK. Drove 12 hours to go and pick this up. So they are happy to have the car not only out on the circuit, but with Mateo going out for qualifying for, I believe, his first attempt this year. It's Jarrett Andretti in the 36 machine that had a bit of a whoopsie in that practice session early on, but that car is repaired and back out on track. And last but not least, it is Theodore Olsen in the 84 for Dawson Racing.
Yeah, I should mention that can't really put the blame on Jarrett Andretti. It was absolutely biblical rain at the time. He came over the top of the brow at Turn 8. He was not pushing, not at all. And as the car got light on the brow before Turn 8, the heel of the boot, the back end just got away from him. I don't even think he'd started braking at that point, if I'm honest. Did a quick swap around and put the left-hand rear into the right-hand guard rail. Just a little kiss. He was able to drive it back. There was some bodywork damage. Looked like the suspension was fine. And the guys at Andretti Autosport have got that car pointing in the right direction and all the wheels to the right alignment. So it is back out again now. There's now a lighter coloured grey line around the circuit, Jeremy. So that is, I think we can say for the most part of the circuit that there is a dry line. Treacherous off it, I would think, but there is a dry line.
Yeah, I think
it's spin, Jeremy, coming out of turn number 10, the penultimate corner. The left hander very slick on the grass for the Riley Motorsports and Jim Cox.
Yeah, just making your point, Jim. John, I think there you get offline here, perhaps stray a wheel on the curb, perhaps. Jim, let's have a look at the replay. Just turned into the corner and he just carried a little bit too much speed in there, I think, for this for the outlap. Around it goes. He does make light contact with the right-hand side of the car, just sort of spinning backwards, kind of along the guardrail there. So I think he should be pretty much okay. I don't think there'd be any damage from that one. He just sort of brushed it very lightly. Did a good job, actually. Just got off the brakes at the last minute and just let the car sort of roll rather than slide if the brakes had been locked up into those tyres. So I think it should be fine. But yeah, no, it's very definitely, yeah, there's no question. I mean, the last session, you had to be on slicks and again now. And wouldn't surprise me if we see some pretty quick lap times during this session.
Yeah. What sort of times would we normally be seeing? Well, what did we say last week, Jeremy? It was quite warm last week, but this is a very grippy circuit.
Yeah, the pole position time last week was set by Austin McCusker at a 1 minute 40.404. That was for the United Autosport team, United Autosport's USA team, which is not racing this weekend. The fastest lap in the race last week was a 41.1 by Oliver Askew. Should put into perspective what a good job Austin McCusker did in qualifying 1 week ago. So I would expect to see times here, not far off that time from Askew in the race last week.
45.590 for Performance Tech, the number 38. All of these cars, by the way, are Liege years. I feel like saying other LMP3s are available, but they're just not being used at the moment. Matteo Larana then doing the job early on.
Yeah, which is interesting, John, because in the IPC series, the Prototype Challenge series, which is also taking place this weekend, there's several chicanes in the field. In fact, in the second practice, in the wet, a little bit earlier this afternoon, the top four are all chicanes, and there's I think half of the cars, seven out of the cars in the field are chicanes. So interesting to see that there are none here in this race for the Vertex series.
I should say, by the way, that IMSA declared this session as mixed, so you do get the choice. Chip?
The last session was as well, because we saw all of the GTD cars out on slick tires, but in GTLM, slick tires for the Corvettes, wets for the Porsche.
Ah, right. Now that
decision.
Yeah, I thought they looked like wets before it rolled out. When we got a quick look at the front end, in particular the sidewalls, that is, there's a number of differences. Obviously, not just the fact. The obvious one is that wets have got grooves in them, so you don't get as much rubber on the road. Tend to be a different compound, so that they can run in cooler conditions, because wet tends to take the heat out of the tyre. But also they tend to have slightly higher sidewalls, which lifts the ride height of the car, and that's deliberate. Because you don't have time to do those kinds of changes if you're swapping from wets to slicks. So it will give the car normally a little bit of a ride height hike. And it will move around a bit more, Jeremy, as well. So that time from Cooper McNeil then, brought into slightly sharper focus then by that news that they were on wet weather tyres. Then again, they rebuilt the car at the weekend, probably wanted to make absolutely certain that there were no problems in that last session.
True, yeah. I mean, they weren't going to, Cooper McNeil wasn't going to be challenging the Corvettes for the pole position. But then again, not quite sure what there was to gain by going out on wet weather tyres there. And he did, how many laps did he did 7 laps on those wet tyres, so not quite sure what there was to gain from that, but I guess there's always something you can learn. If we have changeable conditions during a race, they know it gives them perhaps a better understanding of where the crossover point might be in terms of switching from wets to dries or vice versa.
Yeah, we had a really interesting chat about that with Tom Sullivan from Michelin, and Howden H. Haynes from, well, as he has been recently, Champion Porsche, but also Audi Sport, multiple Le Mans winning lead engineer, about how you work that sort of stuff out. That was on the Haggerty Inside Track on Tuesday. If you haven't seen that, go to haggerty.com, hit the community pages, and you can watch that again. Also, had a cracking chat with Mark Wilkins and Michael Lewis after their races at the weekend, the Hyundai drivers, Mark Wilkins in the new Elantra, Michael Lewis in the Veloster, both Brian Hurtner Autosport drivers. Haggerty.com community pages, and you'll find Inside Track, the Watkins Glen edition down there. You can watch it, go and search for it on YouTube as well. I'm sure you'll find it on there. Good fun. And very illuminating. Less than half distance to go now. Just on to 6 minutes to go. And at the top, it's still that Performance Tech Motorsport car. In fact, just gone better. A little bit quicker, Jeremy.
Yeah, 43-0 for Matteo Urena there from Guatemala. The 17-year-old, that's a pretty impressive effort. He didn't get a chance to drive the car last week in the 6 hours. He wasn't originally on the entry list here for this weekend, but he's got an opportunity to drive the car finally. He's making a good fist of it, because another tenth or two quicker there, 40, 42.979 now for Llerena, and that's nearly a full second quicker than the GTLM car of Jordan Taylor. So that's not hanging around. That's a very good effort by the youngster from Guatemala City.
Yeah, track getting better all the time, but that is still a very good run. Jared Andretti now goes to seventh and cuts the lead to just on 9/10 of a second. Another 1.1 seconds back to John Bennett for Core Autosport. Ah, check that. John has now closed in on Jared Andretti, and those two separated by half a tenth now. So just on 9/10 between the top three at the moment. And then the slightly bigger gaps, Gar Robertson in Riley number 74, second and a half further back. He's got a tenth on Theodore Olsen for Dawson Racing in the 84. And then Jim Cox, not quite up to speed yet, which makes me wonder what the tyre situation is there.
Yeah, I think he's just, he doesn't have the confidence, I think, of these other young guns, Jim. So he's being a little bit circumspect, I would suggest, out there, particularly having had that spin at the extra turn 10 on his out lap. So that won't have done his confidence much. Good, excellent job there by Theodore Olsen, up to second position on this last lap in that Dawson Racing car number 84, 143.6 for the young Norwegian.
Shea Adam with some news coming in from the previous session, Shea.
Cooper McNeil was on slick tires, very, very tricky conditions out there. So apologies for the bad information a little bit earlier on. Cooper was on slicks too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Couldn't really see the point of going out in wets there. But, it was a struggle for Cooper there, that's for sure. But, again, he would have wanted to make sure, like you were saying earlier on, that he wasn't going to make any mistakes. Just start the race. He's going to be in third position in the class for the start of the race in any case. So no point in overextending himself.
Yeah, good point.
There's another improvement for Llerena there, 142.6. John Bennett up into second place, 143.3 for Core Autosport in car number 54. Quicker again there for Llerena on this lap, although he's now come up right behind Jim Cox coming out of turn six. Oh, that's an unfortunate place to catch Jim Cox. He's going to have to go down the inside into turn seven. That's going to compromise his line a little bit down there in that Performance Tech Motorsports car number 38. Llerena, he makes the pass, but it'll probably cost him a little bit of time, I would be almost sure. Jared Andretti up to third position. So Olsen now back to that's Olsen off the road, I think.
Exit
of turn nine.
Correct. And he's facing the wrong direction. He's knocked the little cheese wedge off from behind the right-hand rear wheel.
Red flag.
And that'll be it. That'll be the session. So there will be no more. It doesn't look like anything too much more than that, Jeremy, in terms of the damage on the Dawson Racing car. It's all its wheels are pointing in the right direction, but I think he probably just caught a bit too much curb. We were sliding before that, actually, and did it just graze the tyre barrier, the tyre wall, which is wrapped with the big sort of conveyor belt in front of it. And that, Jeremy, is what he hit. So I think he's got away with that one there. His heart will be beating a bit quicker, though.
Yeah, he was carrying a lot of speed up through that corner. It's a tricky corner. He kind of over a little bit of a crest there. And, those curbs can be really, really slippery, particularly in these sort of conditions. So just a little bit of a mistake there. But, hey, that was a really, really good lap going. I think he was only a couple of tenths shy of potentially challenging for the pole position. But what a great run that was for young Matteo Llerena there. He's going to come away with his first pole position in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, the youngster. And this is just his fourth start at this level. So hats off to Matteo Llerena.
Yeah, can't disagree with that. It is LMP2s and DPIs coming up next. We've got a minute left on this session, but it will not restart. Well, I've said that. Have we?
There's less than a minute remaining, so no time.
Yeah. Checkered flag, in fact, has gone out according to timing and scoring. So the session has come to a premature end. So well done to Matteo Llerena. for Performance Tech Motorsports with a 142.6, three quarters of a second ahead of John Bennett for Court Autosport in the 54. So that's 38 and 54, the two Ligiers, those two Ligiers, top of the six-car grid in LMP3. Jarrett Andretti put in the third best time, so we'll start on the inside of row two with Theodore Olsen for Dawson Racing. 36 and 84 in row two. 74 Carl Robinson and Jim Cox and 91 will be the third row of the grid.
Yeah, Olsen will lose that best time most likely for causing it red. Don't know whether that will put it behind Carl Robinson or not.
I think they lose two. Share, you know the best. Don't you lose your two best laps?
You cause a red flag in qualifying, you lose your two best lap times.
Are you listening, Formula One, by the way? Don't get me started on that. I bet it happens again this weekend at the Steiermark, Primark, Austrian Grand Prix, whatever it is, this weekend. So, well done anyway to Matteo Lapena.
A happy little camper.
I think it'd be a very happy camper indeed, yeah. Brings the red, silver and black number 38 with the red number one on the side. I have to say I didn't notice the Alitalia sponsorship on that last weekend. If it was there, I apologise. Classic motorsport sponsor. You remember back to the old rallying days with them on a number of Lancias and various other Italian cars. Fiat Mia Fiori 131s. And also in circuit racing as well, the Alitalia branding. That's a nice thing to see back on there. Bit of a throwback, Jeremy.
Yeah. I haven't seen that name on the side of a race car for a long time, must admit. Haven't really probably paid attention, but yeah. Like the hairstyle too.
Yeah, he's got... Yeah, he's... You say that, Jeremy, because you're rocking hair that's longer than that at the moment with your lockdown do.
I've changed that now.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay. The lockdown do is gone, has it? The lockdown locks have been lopped.
Yeah, the Larry Holt locks are gone.
Yeah, okay. New engine Tuesday, Paul on Thursday for the 38, and a penalty on that session as well. Shit, Adam.
Car number 84, causing a red flag, loss of two fastest qualifying laps. So it has already been enforced by race control, and we wait to see how that affects the grid for tomorrow.
Well, if it's on, I'm looking at the moment at the Alcamel timing, and they've still got a 43.6 next to that car. So if it's already been enforced, then it will stay on the outside of the second row. I'm
pretty sure that won't stay there.
It's not up on the timing page yet, so I can't go back and actually track each of the lap times, but I'll let you know when I can.
Well, we'll get that to you as quickly as we can. We've got LMP2... and the DPIs coming next, and the opportunity, we took the opportunity earlier on to speak to one or two of the drivers, and Shea spoke to Renger van der Sande earlier on today from the 01 Chip Ganassi Racing Cadillac team, and asked him how he was going to approach this weekend and how he was feeling.
Hey, yeah, there's so much grip around here. It's pretty incredible the first lap you did. For example, last week, first time out, new tires. You're going around the carousel, keeping flat, and you just think, I have to start lifting by now, right? And you can keep it flat and flat and flat. It's like, wow, I'm gonna lift a little bit now. It's pretty impressive. And also the bus stop before, turn six with the downhill, with the wall pretty close, it's cool. It's a proper aerodynamic track. And with these cars, we are the fastest sports cars of the world right now. You realize that, so that's pretty cool as well. And having a good time. It's a shame we couldn't really do well in the 6 hour, because our fuel pump started breaking, and we had only one fuel pump left, so it we couldn't run the tank completely empty, so we had to save a lot of fuel to make it on a tank, which was a shame. But at the same time, we got punted off by Kobayashi, which was not so nice. So whatever comes up next, we're gonna give it a good go.
Yes, they always will. Is it going to be Renger qualifying in this session, Shea?
Nope, it's K-Mags.
Oh, okay. Step back, everybody. He's a very quick study, and he's had, you know, 3 hours around here, or two, best part of 2 hours around here already, so he'll know he's way around it. Winners of the Sirlen 6 hours last Sunday were, of course, the Idemitsu Multimatic Mazda team. Harry Tinknell brought the car home, and he will be qualifying. I spoke to Ollie Jarvis earlier on in the week and asked him about the differences between the preparation and indeed how you attack a 6 hour race compared to what we have this weekend with 2 hours 40.
There's a different mentality in the sense that the 240 is very different. Qualifying is going to be more important. Track position is going to be more important at the start of the race. And you haven't got that luxury of sitting back and letting the race pan out. You know, you need to go get stuck in. So from that side, you definitely have to approach it different as a driver in the car. But you're still going to be flat out. Yeah. You know, all the same things we were doing in the six-hour race. You know, it's still going to be a flat-out race with a bit of fuel saving, you know. Even though you're fuel saving, you're still pushing hard.
Yeah,
you're still taking risks in traffic and that. And I think for us now, you know, that win for me was probably Mazda's best win because we didn't have the quickest car. We had a competitive car, but we didn't have the quickest car. But we played ourselves into the race in the right way. We stayed out of trouble and we made the right call at the right time. And it's one of those victories that you often see the 31 and the 10 get throughout the years where, you know, they've not really been in it all the way through. And all of a sudden, at the last minute when it matters, they're there.
The so pop-up, yeah.
For me, that was an incredible victory. We've still got a lot of work to do with a very short amount of time. I think it's just 1 1-hour test session.
Quite a lot cooler probably as well on Thursday and Friday. Does that make a massive difference to how the car needs setting up all?
No. Certainly around here, it doesn't seem to change it too much. There are tracks where when the temperature rises, you know, it makes a huge difference on the balance. You know, you quite often pick up a lot of oversteer. But I think here it's such high grip. Overall, we'll just maybe, you know, if it's a bit cooler, you pick up a bit of downforce. The car's always a little bit better in them cooler conditions. So you could well see quicker lap times. But I don't think it will have a huge effect on the direction we take with the setup of the car.
Being in with a shout at the championship now, legitimately, does that change the way you would approach any of the races that are coming up?
You know, I always say I don't look at the championship, but I'd be lying if, you know, this year in particular, it seems to have more relevance. And I think myself, Harry, and the whole team have this amazing opportunity to fight for it this year. And, you know, we certainly are aware of that. You know, you try not to let it affect you. I mean, I read this morning that, you know, the 10 saying that they've got one eye on the championship. And, you know, for us, it's the same. For example, you know, we wanted the victory. I've said all along, I'd be happy to win the championship with the podiums, you know, if we didn't win, even if we didn't win a race.
Yeah.
The championship for me at this stage is more important. But you always like to get a win. You know, doesn't have to be two or three, but to get a win throughout the season, you know, it's just important, but not as important as the championship. So certainly, I do feel whether you want it to or not, it does change your mentality slightly. If we're second in a race, you know, and we have that 50-50 chance to get the win, it might be this season you don't take that 50-50 chance and put the car at risk. But it also depends who's ahead. And it's these factors that will play out through the year. You know, for example, if it's a car that's not in the championship ahead of you, that has a, you know, a very different outcome to if it was the 10 or the 31, for example.
Yes.
So I think how aware you are of it at the time I'm not sure, but it's certainly these are the things that are coming into play as the season progresses.
Are you looking forward to the weekend? I mean, you know, you've come off a win at the same track, but motor racing is no respecter of that. Everybody starts at ground zero again at the weekend, but you must have a wee bit of confidence, and the team would have been ecstatic on Sunday night.
Yeah, there was an amazing atmosphere in the team Sunday night. You know, every team worked hard. The guys and girls, they put in some serious hours. You know, they don't do motorsport for the money, that's for sure. You know, they do it because they love it. And they're the same as drivers. You know, everybody talks about drivers being competitors and that, but the people that work within a team are the same. You know, you don't get up at 5 a.m. and do these long days and work weekends if you don't love it and you don't have that competitive spirit. You know, they have the highs and lows that we go through. So it's so nice to be able to see them, you know, see the reward for that. So we all had a drink after the race Sunday, and actually, you know, we went out for dinner Monday night, all as a team, and there was a really nice atmosphere.
Good.
And, you know, what's been really nice is actually having this back-to-back. You know, it's very easy if you take your Sebrings, your Daytonas. The guys and girls have to pack away straight after the race.
Yeah.
So even if you've won it, you know, by the time you get to see them, it's sort of, if you take Daytona or Sebring, it's like 2 a.m.
Yes.
You know, whereas on this occasion, we've got to see them, went to the track Monday, said hello to everyone, they're prepping the car, had dinner Monday night with them, you know, Tuesday again back at the track. And that's been really nice, actually, just to have that little bit more time and just enjoy it all as a group.
Ollie Jarvis talked to me earlier on this week. Interesting comments there about prioritising the championship potentially over race wins, and how different this event is going to be to the 6 hours of the Sealer 6 hours of the Glen last weekend. We are starting the battle for pole position for the WeatherTech 240 at the Glen. RS2, IMSA Radio, and on IMSA TV, imsaradio.com, video page there as well. And first flying laps just getting underway with track temperature round about 21 Celsius. That in Fahrenheit is about 70 Fahrenheit, 68 Fahrenheit in the air. That's about 20 degrees in the air. So I would say, Jeremy, aside from it being a bit greasy and probably not very nice offline, these are not bad conditions, certainly not for the engines right now here at Watkins Glen International.
No, I agree. This is going to be a pretty interesting session, I think. We saw how closely matched the cars all were in the race last week, and I would expect to be the same now. You know, that was a the conditions now, like you say, that it's good out there. I see no reason why we shouldn't see some pretty quick lap times. The fastest time in qualifying last week was set by Ricky Taylor at 130.0. Might be struggling to get down to that probably, but conditions now are certainly pretty good. It isn't as hot and sticky as it has been this week. The 130.022, that was the fastest time last week. The pole position record here was Oliver Jarvis back in 2019 at 29.6. Not going to get anywhere near that. The tyres had been brought this year. We weren't here last year, of course. A bit more conservative than they were a couple of years ago. So I certainly don't expect the outright records here to be challenged at all.
Jeremy Shaw, Shea Adam, John Hindhoff. Let's see what the first gambit is from each of the drivers. Ricky Taylor, 139.186. Harry Tinknell, 142, 146s. So still getting up to speed. I'll have nobody seeing, Jeremy, they didn't get enough space here, because there's 3.5 miles for for nine cars here. So they should be able to spread them out.
Yeah, don't want to hear that one. You know, if you're within 3 or 4 seconds, you might get a little bit of a slipstream from the car in front of you. And certainly for the number five car, he's chasing Ollie Pla down the back straight towards the inner loop. And, you know, he's certainly in fairly good shape there, I would suggest, if he can keep it all together. It's number five car has been qualified by Loic Duval this time, it seems like.
Right. Yeah, very good. Kevin Magnussen getting up the pace at the moment. The number 10 is Ricky Taylor. He's coming round to the end of another lap. What's very interesting is that those, all of the cars actually, including the LMP3s, they're all in about a third of the track. The first car on track is the Ricky Taylor Konica Minolta Acura coming through the final corner and through onto the start-finish line. Now, the last car in the line is the Gianferrano Tower Motorsport Orica, the number 8 car, and that's just come through turn 6 and heading towards turn 7. All right, so maybe half the lap, if not a third of the lap at the moment. Pete Modirani goes down to 132.5. Ollie Pla, 132.6. But again, Jeremy, this could well be where you are, where your track position is when that checkered flag comes out in 9.5 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely right. Pipo Durrani's best lap last week during a race was a 32.1, by the way, in that number 31 car. The fastest lap of the race, like I said, was a 31.5, I think I said that, by Renge van der Zander in the Cadillac. The Acura of Dane Cameron was 0.007 away from that. And Harry Ticknell's car set the third fastest lap, 0.175 off the fastest time of the day during the race on Sunday.
So just after 7 o'clock local time, just after midnight if you're in the UK, 1 o'clock in the morning on a Friday morning in Central Europe, there will be people tuning in, watching and listening. And if you're outside the US, of course, we'll have the Michelin Pilot Challenge for you without any interruption, and the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship XM202 at the weekend for the main race tomorrow. 8 minutes to go. Kevin Magnussen goes to the top, but not for long, as Ollie Pla puts the Acura back to the top. So it's the pink and black number 60, Jeremy, now on top of the stack.
Indeed, and Loic Duval just 0.028 behind Ollie Pla. Wow, that's a good lap by the French. Well, two Frenchmen there, first and second. Pla in the car number 60, the Acura, and Loic Duval in the Cadillac number 5. That's a really good effort by Loic Duval in that car. Just look at that car's fastest lap of the race last week. It was a 32.3 by Loic Duval. So significantly quicker than this car went just a few days ago. Okay, this is qualifying. That was a race, certainly. Mm-hmm. But we saw a differential in lap times of about a second and a half from qualifying. 30.0 was the pole time 1 week ago. But still, that's a good lap by Loic Duval in car number 5.
This is all going to come down to the last lap, I reckon. Here comes Harry Ticknell. Great run for the Multimatic Mazda team.
The time in the middle sector on this lap.
Shit, Adam, we've had some great stories in the 4 days between the sale and 6 hours of the Glen, and the cars coming out for their one and only free practice earlier on this afternoon, not least from Tower Motorsport.
Yeah, we've already had one car get pole position that was rebuilt after the Salem 6 Hours of the Glen. We could have another in the form of Happy Canada Day to Gianferrano in the number 8 for Tower Motorsport. That car needing to be rebuilt after a big crash going into, actually coming out of turn 1, running off the rumble strips and then spearing back across the track for Gabby Aubrey. Ferrano right now still working up to a fast lap to put in some contention with Ben Keating and Stephen Thomas, the two guys who are naturally the ones that you would think about for the pole position. Stephen having taken it here last week and Ben having gotten it earlier on in the year at Daytona. But Gianferrano and Tower Motorsport, hats off to those guys for getting the car back out and ready to race again this week.
Proves, if proof were needed, that it really is a team sport, particularly when you have these quick turnarounds. We're right into the meat of the season now. as this time of the year always is very busy in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. A little bit of a shorter turnaround between the Seal and 6 hours of the Glen and the next event. We would normally have been up at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park this weekend.
Ricky Taylor's on the good lap.
And here's Ricky coming through to the end of the lap.
He's currently sixth.
And we'll jump up to pole position provisionally with a 30.356, a 130.356. Did we get into the 29s in qualifying at the weekend?
No, by 0.022.
Yes. I remember saying, are we going to get it? And we didn't, but it was really quite warm. I think we've got half a chance of getting beneath 90 seconds here with still 5 minutes to go. It is a bit cooler. The tyres will be loving that. The engines will be absolutely loving that at the moment. Number 11, Wynn Autosport. Stephen Thomas behind the wheel of that car.
He waits to the end of the session, John.
Yes, he does.
Stephen Thomas, yeah. one week ago, as Shea was saying, it was Ben Keating who led pretty much that whole session. He had a spin right at the end, and Stephen Thomas stepped in, and on the last lap took the pole position. But we've seen time tumbling down here. We saw Ricky Taylor just went from last to first. Ollie Plahr, the previous lap, he made a mistake, I think, in the middle sector, but he's got improved now. He's just less than a tenth of a second behind Ricky Taylor in second position as Taylor goes purple in sector one. Harry Tinknell down to fifth now in the Mazda, a half a second back, but he's just gone purple in sector two as well. So this is, as you say, John, getting better, faster and faster as this session goes along. This is going to be fun, these last 2, 3 or 4 minutes. We are 3:45 remaining.
Just the three LMP2 cars, and Ben Keating has the pole there for the moment with a 35.597, 1:35.5. He's got about a second, little more than that, on the field at the moment. That's a good lap from Ben Keating. Stephen Thomas working up to it. He's not one of those drivers who goes out and rips off the first flying lap once he's up to temperature and pressure on the Michelins. He builds up to it. That's what Jeremy was alluding to earlier on. Ollie Plahr, 130.404, less than half a second. Check that, less than half a tenth of a second between first and second, and the top three separated by under 2/10. Shit. Oh, Tinknell's been off the track.
Yeah,
shit, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was watching his fast lap and he lost 2 and a bit seconds in the third sector, and now there's damage to the front left of the Mazda. I think that's a bit of cardboard of some kind on the front.
He's picked up an advertising hoarding coming through the inner loop, it would be my guess, in the 55. See if we can get confirmation of that. It is one of the pieces of advertising from around the track. My money is... I was wrong. I thought it was going to be at the inner loop. It was not there at all. It was coming through turn eight.
It was. And that's going to compromise that car massively through the S's.
So, and he hasn't got time to pit and have that taken off.
No, but stop on off the racing surface and it would
and
fall off.
Jam the brakes on? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
He's not doing that. He's going to carry on, so he's not going to be able to improve in this car now. I don't think he tried to slow down there, but he's going to have to come to a halt. He's got about 1:47 now. He's going to. I don't think he's going to have time to stop, so to speak. Let that car piece of a polystyrene fall off, and then get back on again. He certainly exceeded track limits over there in turn eight. Not too much question about that, I think. So that lap probably wouldn't have counted in any case.
Yeah, it's a good point.
In LMP2, Stephen Thomas has just gone purple in sector two.
Which means he has the fastest lap of everybody. It's not just that he's holding his breath behind the wheel. Well, yes, almost certainly true. Comes through the final couple of corners. He'll get one more lap. Here comes Thomas in the chrome blue and yellow with the black on the top of the car. This is the number 11 we're talking about. Comes to the line now. And goes to pole position. Has he left too much time? Half a tenth again, the gap.
Yeah, well, Ben Keating is just behind him on the road. He also improved on that lap,
yeah,
last lap, but by 0.046, it is Thomas who's fastest. As you say, they'll both have one more lap here. surprisingly, nobody in DPI improved on that lap. So Ricky Taylor still has the fastest time at the moment, 130.356 to the 30.404 of Pla, 30.545 for Kevin Magnussen, as Harry Ticknell has pulled the number 55 car off the road, and that's going to be the end of his session. So once again, he's going to start, well, he qualified, that car qualified last week, one from the back, six out of seven. Now it's going to be five out of six.
I'm guessing they've asked him to stop the car because the temps were probably getting a bit high. He stopped in the cut through between the other part of the track, yeah. Jeremy. Yeah, so he's come straight out of the outer loop and turned right.
Purple in sector two in the LMP2 car.
Oh, so this is not over.
Needs to find 46 thousandths of a second over his previous best lap.
Yeah.
And annoyingly, for Harry Ticknell, that piece of polystyrene has just fallen off the car.
Yeah, when he pulled it to a dead stop, he actually ran over it and dragged it off himself. Here comes Thomas in the Wynn Autosport car. He comes to the line. Checkered flag is out. Will he improve? He does not, but Ben Keating does. Keating's done a Thomas, and the PR1 Matheson Motorsport goes ahead by half a second. Not even close. Ben Keating, the Texan car dealer, has gone through to take pole position. Wow. Absolutely brilliant. And meantime, at the top of the shop, it is Ricky Taylor on pole position with a 130.058. We still don't get a 129. I'm not happy.
No, but awfully close to last week. 30.022 it was last week. 30.058 this week for Ricky Taylor. Looks like it's going to be good enough. Ollie Plas still on his last lap. And he just did go personal best in sector one, but not quick in sector two. So it's going to be the pole once again for Ricky Taylor, and this now makes him the most successful pole sitter in the IMSA World Tech Sports Car Championship dating back to 2014. He was tied with James French, who drove last weekend but not this week. So this will be number third pole position, number 13 for Ricky Taylor to the 12 of James French. Two in a row then for this Konica Minolta Acura team.
Ah, $10 in the jar. Sorry, you had a slide there. You put the wheels off. Almost got it back, but not quite. The realisation with Ollie Plas pulling into the pits and Loic Duval not going any quicker, that they've got pole position. Great enjoyment of that on the Wayne Taylor Racing pit box for Konica Minolta Acura and their ARX05. So by 3.5 tenths in the end, then a tenth and a half from Mershank Racing's Acura. So it's an Acura 1-2 there. The 1-0 from the 6-0. Then Kevin Magnussen on the inside of row 2 in the first of the Cadillacs, the 0-1. He'll have the Whelen Engineering, or they'll have the Whelen Engineering Cadillac, the bright red and white, number 31 for company. Harry Ticknell on the inside of row 3 for Meister Motorsports. And after we heard what we heard from Ollie Jarvis, I think they'll be disappointed with that. They wanted better track position. I know it's only 2 hours and 40 minutes, but really, they wanted to be further up to the front of the field. Loic Duval and Mustang Samplings number 5, the dark grey with gold on the outside of row 3. And in LMP2, Ben Keating takes pole from Stephen Thomas in second. So PR1 Matheson number 52 from Wynn Autosport number 11. And then the Tower Motorsport number 8 car, John Ferrano, in third position. Well, excellent stuff. And is that's both Taylors on their respective poles. It's another good Taylor family outing, Shay Adam.
I think that's why Wayne Taylor was celebrating. One boy had already gotten the job done, and now the other one gets it done for Dad. So Shelley and Wayne will be very, very happy tonight.
Well, that concludes then our qualifying session. To recap, earlier on, it was in GTD, the number 1 Lamborghini from Paul Miller Racing on pole position. The 3 Corvette captured GT Le Mans pole. And in LMP, remind me who was on pole in LMP3, Shea?
Matteo Urena for Performance Tech.
All right, so the 38 car, thank you, LMP3. And here we have had the 52, which is the PR1 Matheson Motorsport car on pole for LMP2. And leading them round for the start of the WeatherTech 240 will be the Konica Minolta Acura. And that is another pole position, Jeremy Shaw, for Ricky Taylor.
Yeah, very well earned. Now, I think this is the first time the two Taylor brothers have been on the pole position for the same race, obviously in different classes. They both won on the same weekend before, did that earlier this season, I think. But I think it's the first time they both had pole position. But a tremendous run for both of them there. And for Ricky Taylor to set that time so close to that time from just a few days ago, the second pole position with great effort. For Ben Keating, he'll be thrilled with that.
Oh, that's because, magnificent,
He found 0.4 of a second, I think, compared to his time last week. And rather than losing out by a few hundredths of a second, this time he's got the pole position by a few tenths.
Yeah.
He was following. He had Stephen Taylor literally in his sights. He was following him on the racetrack, but he was able to put that lap together. Hats off to Ben Keating. And this is Ben's, his pole position number three. Where are we? Number four. Ben Keating was an asterisk on one of them, so his third proper one.
I noticed that the president of IMSA, John Toonan, was down there to congratulate him. I think that might be my performance of qualifying there. That and young Matteo Larena for the LMP3, opposite ends of their careers and their experience of life, those two. But the LMP2 and the LMP3, Paul, I think that's excellent work from both of those guys, and they will be living it up for tonight. Of course, the major points are scored tomorrow, and we'll have that for you live across the world on RS2, across the US on XM202, and of course in sound and vision if you're outside of the US. Our colleagues at NBCSN in the US will be bringing you the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship race, which is the WeatherTech 240 from the Glen tomorrow. Shea Adam was our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter. Jeremy Shaw was alongside me, John Hindhoff, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Thanks to all of our technical assistants, whether it was up in London with Kerry, who made sure that the world heard us, or of course trackside with Tyler Norling, who made sure we were heard on the PA. And we could see all around the track, thanks to the fabulous pictures from our camera operators, the replays from the tape apes, and all of the hard work from the production staff at NASCAR Production. Join us tomorrow. We've got the Michelin Pilot Challenge for you live, and also IMSA WeatherTech for the WeatherTech 240 here at the Glen, racing on Fast Friday. See you then.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.